Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dr. Luther once commented that if on the evening of the fall, Adam and Eve had heard so much as the rumbling of a solitary leaf, they would have been utterly terrified. Now, that's not quite the same as that campfire pietism that sings about seeing Jesus in the sunset or listening for God as he speaks to me in the rustling grass or the music of the spheres. Creation itself has become a threatening and fearful place. Tectonic plates that shift stir up waves that we call tsunami. Hurricanes unleash their imbecile strength, reducing homes to rubbish and blotting out life itself. Mindless cancers race their way through human tissue, sapping strength and drawing their victims right down into the grave. The fragility of life itself puts us in the presence of death. And if death alone were not enough to cause us fright, there is the accuser of the brethren. Revelation calls him the ancient serpent, the deceiver. He mocks you with the memories of your sin. He baits you as he did Eve, enticing you to unbelief. And the same words he puts into Eve's ears, he now whispers into your heart, "Did God really say?" Except this time around, it is not, "Did God really say you shall not eat of it?" But did God really say, "Your sins are forgiven"? This is the one that our text tells us has been hurled out of heaven only to land on earth. The angels sang heaven's Gloria over the plains of Bethlehem when Jesus was born, announcing peace on earth. There is indeed rejoicing in heaven, for Satan is defeated, the prince of this world cast down and judged. His doom is sure. Yet in this present time, fleeting as it is, he still strikes with venomous fangs and with lethal force. And so John says, "But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you with great wrath, because he knows his time is short." Christians live an imperiled existence as we make that trek of faith in this world. The old hymn has it right, we walk in danger all the way. And yet as we walk, our Lord gives us the words to pray. As he teaches us to pray that our Father in heaven would deliver us from every evil of body and soul, and finally grant us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of tears to himself in heaven. Luther is as apocalyptic as the apocalypse himself in his explanation of this last petition in the Large Catechism, where he writes, "Nevertheless, this petition includes all the evil that may befall us under the devil's kingdom, poverty, disgrace, death, and in short, all the tragic misery and heartache of which there is so incalculably much on earth. For because the devil is not only a liar, but a murderer as well, he incessantly seeks our life and vents his anger by causing accidents and injury to our bodies. He crushes some and drives others to insanity. Some he drowns in water and many he hounds to suicide and other dreadful catastrophes. Therefore, there is nothing for us to do on earth but to pray without ceasing against this archenemy. For if God did not support us, we would not be safe from him for a single hour. And so Luther teaches us to pray morning and evening, day in and day out. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. And that, dear friends in Christ, is a prayer that we cannot but pray. For it is a cry that is wrung out of the crucible of our embattled living and dying in a world where Satan's fury is still foaming the seas and scalding the earth. And yet it is not a petition born out of despair. Rather, it is the voice of faith. Faith that is anchored in that loud voice, that loud sermon that St. John heard in heaven. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. For they have not loved their lives even unto death. So let Satan vent whatever havoc he will in this world, wounded and broken by sin, groaning in travail in anticipation of that redemption that is yet to be revealed in our own bodies. Let him vent whatever he will, for you have the promise of the one who makes all things new. Yes, there is a battle raging. There is a war of words going on. Satan's verbose assaults, his fiery words of accusation that inflame your conscience. But those words are answered by another word, Jesus' word. And that is not a word of accusation, but of absolution. By the blood of the Lamb, your sins are blotted out. No more wrath. You have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. The victory of Michael's battle is your victory. Preaching to what was left of his congregation in the bombed-out rubble of St. Michael's Church in Hamburg in the Second World War, Helmut Tiedekke announced that he who has the victory of the last hour can endure the next few minutes. And that's what we are shown on this St. Michael and All Angels Day, the victory of the last hour. You have that victory of Jesus' death and resurrection. And it is in that confidence that you learn to pray. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.